And now, a conversation about race, or more accurately, a conversation about how to have a conversation about race. My guest is Jay Smooth. He hosts the Underground Railroad on WBAI Radio, New York's longest-running hip-hop show, as well as a video blog called Ill Doctrine. In 2008, he released a video called How to Tell Someone They Sound Racist. He'll be speaking about that very topic on Thursday night at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, as the keynote speaker for a week-long series of lectures and events that begins today on the Catonsville campus. Jay Smooth joins me on the line from New York. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Good to have you. So the first thing we should sort of get out of the way is this notion of what race is. I mean, it's really, race is not some biological genetic thing. It's really, it's a social construct.
It is indeed a social construct, which in a certain sense is not real and has no basis in logic or reason or science. And so it's constantly fluid and in many ways arbitrary and subjective. And I think sometimes people make the mistake of assuming that we can just proclaim that it's not real and not have to worry about it anymore. But despite it only being a social construct, it has a real constant presence in our lives, just as something like money isn't real technically, but it has a real material impact on us as a social construct that you have to grapple with.
Sure. Now, I think everybody can agree that conversations about race are often difficult. You've studied this a lot. You've talked about it. You've blogged about it. You've thought a lot about it. What, to your mind, in your perspective, is the thing that makes conversations about race often so difficult?
Well, I think there's a tendency to overly personalize any discussion of race issues. I think no matter what the context or nuance of the conversation is, whenever you broach a topic that relates to race, we tend to hear it sort of in the voice of Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 with the words, "I think you're racist," mixed in, even if that's not what the other person is saying at all. I think there's a tendency to assume that any conversation about race is a referendum on whether I am a bad person, and an assumption that blind spots or mistakes in the realm of race are something that only a bad person would fall into. So there's a resistance to being introspective and thoughtful about the more complicated, nuanced race issues that we deal with.
Yeah, you make a really good point that when it comes to this and so many other things, it's hard to bat a thousand, as you put it. You know, I mean, we can't almost expect that any of us are going to be sort of pure in that regard. None of us want to be racists, I assume, but, you know, there are, we have aspects and we have failings when it comes to that. What are some of the common failings, the ones that you run into a lot in your research and thinking about this?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily claim to do a great deal of research. I'm more of a pop culture observer and commentator, to be fair. But I would say, first of all, I think there certainly is a fair amount of overt racism still out there, which you can verify by a visit to any YouTube page where race issues are being discussed. But I think the more common form nowadays are different levels of implicit bias in people who are striving to be good egalitarian citizens, but fall into our natural tendencies as human beings to develop blind spots, have gaps in our knowledge, instinctively group people into in-group, out-group, us-them groupings. I think there are patterns that we all fall into naturally that are similar to plaque building up on your teeth, something that you have to mind every day and try to keep up on, as opposed to race or racism being like having your tonsils taken out. I think that's how we usually think of race issues, as if I'm not racist, then that's a permanent state that I don't need to mind and do constant upkeep on.
Jay Smooth is a DJ and video blogger who blogs about race, politics, and popular culture. He'll be speaking at UMBC on Thursday night on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. One of the things that strikes me is that so often the public discourse, our so-called conversations about race, often occur in the context of a crime. I mean, recently we've had Trayvon Martin and the killing of Jordan Davis. Back in the day, it was O.J. Simpson. There were these events that occasion these considerations of race. But how do you think that has played into the biases and the problems that we have when we try to have a discourse about this very complex topic.
We definitely tend to have a narrow sense of what issues and what news stories have race and racial issues as a component. And I think we tend to look at incidents between individuals as the place where racism still manifests and are blind to the more systemic institutional ways that they play out in our everyday life. And I think we are drawn to anything that's either some sort of celebrity gaffe or some sort of crime or incident where an individual person was victimized, because that's the easiest focal point for us to understand. And I think that blinds us to a lot of the subtler but more persistent and in many ways more impactful levels where race and racism are affecting our lives every day.
You also make the distinction between individual racism and systemic racism. How do you see those two dimensions being distinguished, and how do they contribute to what we're learning and not learning about our conversations on race?
The individual levels of racism, like I said, are the easiest for us to understand, the easiest for us to make media out of in the news cycle. And I think we prefer to think of racism on an individual level because it allows us to look at individual success stories like Barack Obama or Oprah Winfrey and see them as proof that these race issues are now in the past. And it allows us to rationalize statistics that show people of color falling behind as due to failures on their part, that they're not living up to what Obama and Oprah proved that anyone should be able to do. So I think there's a need to be able to come to terms with how all of our institutions in America help to perpetuate systemic inequities that each of the individuals in that institution might not intend to perpetuate. But if you are able to rationalize the status quo being a meritocracy, even though it's the result of centuries and generations of systemic inequity, that allows those inequities to fester and continue instead of us grappling and seeing the reality of them.
In terms of how the media covers it, and you've worked with an organization called Race Forward, which is examining in particular the media's perspective and the media's product about thinking about race and racial justice. It's analyzed stories that have appeared about race over the past decade or so in the media. What kind of information are you gleaning from that analysis, and where does that stand at this point?
Well, that tendency to focus on individual stories instead of being systemically aware was definitely one of the trends that Race Forward found. They did a research paper where they compiled 1,200 stories from major newspapers and cable TV outlets and found a number of different trends where we tend to get off track in these discussions of race. And I think there's an onus on each of us as consumers of media, as well as all of us as participants nowadays in social media. We each have a public voice. I think there's a need to be aware that every conversation we have is creating a public document. Every conversation we have is contributing to an environment of ideas. And I think we need to be able to step back and look at the big picture of that environment we're contributing to when we have these conversations about race. And I think all of us as good people need to get more comfortable with telling each other that we've got something stuck in our teeth, as it were, when it comes to our understanding of these race issues.
The Race Forward organization has identified, and you've talked about this in your video blog as well, 7 harmful racial discourse practices. We don't have time to talk about all 7 of them, but one of them is prioritizing intent over impact. What do you mean by that, and how has that had a deleterious effect on the conversation?
Well, I mean, I think it ties into the concepts we've already discussed. When someone is challenged about something they said or something they did as far as it being racially insensitive or harmful to someone, the most common response is to defend yourself on the basis of your intentions. You say, I didn't mean any harm. I'm a good person who doesn't have a racist bone in my body. And I think intentions should factor into the conversation, but they can't be a trump card that overrides the impact of your words and actions. And I think it's quite possible and quite common for you to have the best intentions in the world, but still unwittingly, unknowingly hurt people or do harm or support an unjust status quo. And I think really it is a way to liberate yourself if you can let go of that instinct to personalize everything and see that having discussion about impact as separate from intent is a way for each of us to confirm with each other that we are good people. This is something that good people should be comfortable discussing with each other. It helps us to continue being good people.
Jay Smooth will give a lecture entitled On Hip-Hop, Race, and Politics, The Way We Talk About Things, Thursday night at 7:30 in the ballroom at the University Center at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. We've got a link to Jay Smooth's video blog, Ill Doctrine, and more information about all of the events for the Critical Social Justice Campaign, centered on the theme of engaging in difficult dialogues at UMBC. Come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. And Jay Smooth, thanks so much for your time. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Tomorrow, Sheila has a conversation with the filmmaker behind the critically acclaimed documentary After Tiller. It's part of our Maryland Film Festival WIPR Spotlight series. That's tomorrow morning on Maryland Morning. Special thanks to our intern, Cassandra Morales, for her help with our show this morning. For producers Stephanie Hughes, Matt Purdy, and Jemila Kay. And for Sheila and Nathan, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.